can do anything but fail. God can do anything but fail. If you found that to be true, go ahead and do what you've already been doing. And why don't we give him praise? Come on, if he didn't fail in your hour of need, if he didn't fail when you had a sickness in your body, if he didn't fail when you had no money, you were down to your last dime, would you praise him right now? Jesus, you can do anything but fail. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, there's no failure in God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful to serve a God like that, with that kind of track record, with that kind of success behind him. Isaiah said when he came into the temple, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. That train, they would add on to it every time they conquered a new king. And so when the Lord, when he saw the Lord, when he saw all the victories, when he saw all the times God had not failed, it filled the temple. I'm looking at a filled sanctuary tonight that said God didn't fail that one. God didn't fail that one. God didn't fail that one. The temple is filled with his glory and with his victory. One more time, let's praise him. Jesus, you are worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for every battle you've won on our behalf. You always cause us to triumph. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. It feels good in the house of the Lord tonight. And on that note of faith from that song, I'm going to continue in the vein of faith. And we're just going to see what the Lord wants to do in this house tonight. I believe that he has a work that he wants to do. I believe that he has something he wants to accomplish every time that we come together. And he's already been working, and we're going to see what he'll do. We're going to read from Philippians chapter 1, reading from verse 6. Chapter 1 and verse 6, the words of Paul the apostle as he is in prison. He writes these words, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The New King James Version says it just a tad bit different. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The message of the verse and the message of the night is that what God starts, he finishes. What God starts, he will finish it. We can have the confidence and the hope that no matter what we go through or no matter what comes our way and tries to intimidate or tries to threaten the outcome, what God starts, God will complete it. Why don't we just thank him for that right now before we're seated, and let's express faith in him. God, I thank you that you're not only a God that cannot fail, but you cannot fail in what you start. What you have begun in us and what you have begun in this city and what you have begun in our lives, you will perform it. And I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon me as I preach. I pray that each one of us are anointed to receive your word in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you're going to preach with me, you can say amen and be seated. Jared? Okay. He's still standing, so I just wanted to make sure. Paul writes in the book of Philippians, and I mentioned that this is one of his prison epistles. This is one of the letters that he wrote while he was incarcerated, which makes the words to me a whole lot more meaningful that a man sitting in a prison cell can say, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun. He's trying to encourage the church at Philippi, and he's sitting in a prison cell, and he's not sure, maybe in the natural, if he's going to get out of there, but he's sure in his spirit that God has called him to minister to these churches. And so he writes with confidence. And he says, I'm confident that the God who began a good work will complete it, or he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that day has not happened yet. That day is the day when Jesus returns and he sets up his kingdom here on earth. And he comes back and he receives us as his bride. That's the day that he's talking about there. And that day hasn't happened yet. There may be some beliefs in this world that that day has already happened, that this work is already finished. But I promise you that he has not returned, that day has not happened yet. And so God is still working in the earth today. He's still moving and he is still working in the earth. And so we can have what I'll call the power of spiritual confidence in God. And our confidence is not in a human. Our confidence is not in a human's ability. Our confidence is in God. That was the confidence of the Apostle Paul. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work. Paul, as I said, didn't have a whole lot else to be confident about, sitting in a prison cell, but he had a God that he could be confident about, and so do you today. You have a God who loves you. You have a God who is all powerful. This God that we serve and we've been singing about is the God who said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. That means every type of power, every amount of power, it's all in him. He has the power. So our confidence is in God. Here's what I know about the God who's not finished yet. God's been around a long time, and he's done a lot of great miracles. He's exerted his power many times, and he has done many miraculous things, but he's not been weakened and he's not been lessened by any one of those things. He still has all power. You have a little bit of money and you go to McDonald's and you spend it. You have a little bit less money than you had when you went in. But that's not true of God's power. He's got a limitless supply of power. And so he is able. The Bible says he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do in our situation exactly what we need him to do. So just because he did a miracle for you yesterday or 2 weeks ago or 30 years ago doesn't mean he has any less power today. He's still the same God. He still has the same power, and he's able to work in our lives. Psalm 145 in verse 3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Unsearchable. Meaning, we'll never find the end of God. We'll never find the end of God's greatness. The psalmist said, praise him for his excellent greatness. We'll never find the end of God's greatness. If you set out on the eastern side of the Sahara and you walk in a straight line and you got plenty of water, you will eventually come out on the western boundary of the Sahara. You can find the end of the Sahara. You can find the end of the Amazon jungle, but you can't find the end of God's greatness, and you can't find the end of God's power. His power is never finished. His power is never ceasing. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus declared these words about himself. I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. I'm talking about a God who's not finished, but he said, I am the beginning and I am the ending. I am which was and which is and which is to come, the Almighty God, this God without end, his power without end, and he will complete the work that he started in your life. He will complete the work that he started in your situation, in your family, and that's the message I'm bringing to you tonight, that what God has started in your situation, he is able also to perform it and to bring it to a finished product. He will complete the work. We can be confident, along with the Apostle Paul, that he which began a good work will perform it. I like to, when I preach or teach, most of the time, I will include Genesis 1. I don't exactly know why. I'll start in the Garden of Eden, but that's where God started, so I figure that's a good place to start. Now, I'm not going to go through every book, just in case you're like, God's not finished, neither is Amber. Not the case. I will finish tonight, I promise. But we'll start at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The earth was without form and it was void. It was void of what? It was void of order, meaning it was in complete and utter chaos. This world, when it began, before it began, really, at this point, it says that the earth was without form. There was no order. There was just complete and utter chaos. There was confusion. There was no semblance of any type of structure at all. And darkness covered the face of the deep. It was chaotic and it was dark. God started with chaos. And look what he made out of chaos. The world that is around us today. So my encouragement to you is that maybe your situation is a little chaotic tonight. Maybe the family situation or the health situation is a little chaotic. But take hope from the word of the Lord tonight. That what starts in chaos, when God begins to move and he speaks, the God who is not finished will bring order and he will bring structure to what is chaotic in our lives. What starts in chaos does not end in chaos. It started that way, but God wasn't finished with it yet. I love that scripture declares the first three words of the Bible, in the beginning. God declared this a beginning. We might look around and we might look at a situation and look at the chaos that there is, and we might declare it an ending. We might declare it's hopeless. There is no life here. There is no way that this could become anything. There is no way that this individual could be saved. There's no way that that we could provide in this situation. There is just no way. We might call it an ending, but scripture calls it a beginning. In the beginning, God was beginning to work because he wasn't finished with earth just yet. And so the verse goes on, chapter 1, verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Before we know the name of God, before we hear the word of God in scripture, we see the Spirit of God moving and beginning a process. Because when the Spirit of God moves, it begins a process. When the Spirit moved in Genesis chapter 1, a process began. Then God spoke and he said, let there be light, and there was light. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And it goes on and on and on through six days of creation and the seventh day of rest. But God started a process when the Spirit moved. That lets me know the importance of the Spirit in our lives. Now, I know I'm in a Pentecostal church, and so we believe in the power of the Spirit. But allow me just to talk about the Spirit here for a second. We need the Spirit of God moving in our lives. We need His Spirit. When there is chaos in our lives and when there's disorder in our lives, we need the Spirit to begin to move in our lives. And you can invite the Spirit of God to move into your situation and to move into your family, because when the Spirit moves, a process begins. A process of order from chaos. A process of healing from sickness begins. A process of restoration from brokenness begins when the Spirit of God moves. I'll illustrate this with salvation. When the Spirit of God fills our life and He moves into our life, a process begins. And how do we get that Spirit? I don't want a service to go by that we don't explain the plan of salvation. So here it is. When we have faith in God, we have faith that He died for us, we have faith that He lived for us, we have faith that He was resurrected on the third day, which we're going to celebrate at Easter in a couple of weeks. We believe and we have faith that He died for my sins, that He loved me enough. It brings about a response from us. It brings about an action. It's not just a mental assent type of faith, not just one that we say, oh, I have faith in God and I believe, therefore I'm saved. No, there's some action on our part. But it's faith in His action that begins that process. And so we say, then we repent. Repentance is the next step. And all repentance is I'm walking this way towards sin. I'm sinning in my life. I'm dirty. I'm messed up. I'm a sinner far from Jesus. But repentance is just simply turning around, going the opposite direction and saying, you know what, God? I'm going to walk Your direction from now on. I'm going to listen to You. I'm going to be obedient to Your word. I've read in Your word there's some things I need to clean up and get out of my life, and so I'm going to do that. And repentance is more than just simply saying, I'm sorry for my sins. It does include that. But it's a turn of our heart and a surrendering and submission to God. And then once we have repented of our sins, we're baptized in Jesus' name by immersion in the name of Jesus. And it's for the forgiveness of all of our sins. He wipes away all of our sins. Have we heard this too many times, or is this okay? He remits all of our sins. He washes them all away. And then we are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God comes to live in us. And it's evidenced by speaking with other tongues as we surrender our lives to Him and He gives the utterance. We are filled with His Spirit. And then a process in our life begins. A process, what we will call sanctification. Or righteous living, a holy life. And we can't do the righteous living. We can't do the holy life without the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And basically, when we come to Him and when we repent and He forgives all of our sins and He fills us with His Spirit, that's God declaring us to be righteous. He's saying, hey, Amber repented. She has faith in me. She was baptized. She's been filled with my Spirit. Now she's righteous. And I'm over here like, I am? But I'm still human. I'm still going to mess up. And He's like, yeah, you are, but you're righteous in my sight. And so I spend the rest of my life trying to live up to that. That's the process of sanctification. And I need the moving of the Spirit in my life to be able to do that. And so His Spirit begins a process in our lives. And His Spirit, when you invite His Spirit into your life and into your situation, He will begin a process in your life. When the process began in here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, there was nothing to show for it yet. There was no visible manifestation of anything. It just said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It wasn't until God began to speak that light came, that there was light and then there was darkness, that then He divided the waters, that then the earth was formed and seas were formed and the grass and herbs and trees were formed. It wasn't until He began to speak. And so what I'm telling you, I'm just giving you a little bit of hope from the very first story in the scripture, is that when the Spirit of God begins to move, you may not be able to tell on the outside. But do not doubt that when God's Spirit begins to move, that He is not finished and He is working in your situation. He is working on that loved one that you are praying for. He is working on that boss or that coworker. He is working in your situation. Though you may not have anything to show for it, His Spirit is working. And He's not finished yet. And so the first day He created light. That's pretty good for a first day. First day on the job? No, He was God long before that. But His first act that we read of in Scripture was He created light. Let there be light. And that was the first day. The second day went just as well. He says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. And so that happened, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. The second day was a success. And then God was finished. No, He wasn't. Don't be scared to tell me no. He wasn't finished. He didn't stop on the second day. He kept working. He got up on the third day. And He said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And He called the dry land earth, and the water He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And then He said, hey, that's pretty good. I'm going to keep going on the third day. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and a tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And then God was finished. Thank you. God wasn't finished at the end of the third day. He woke up on the fourth day. He made the sun, the moon, the stars. He set seasons in motion. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day, and God was finished. No, there was still a fifth day. God's alarm clock went off, and He said, let the waters bring forth abundant, the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above in the heavens. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth with the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God wasn't finished on the fifth day either. He went to the sixth day and He made animals, and then He made humans. And that's why we're here. Because on the first day, God wasn't finished. And on the sixth day, God wasn't finished either, because He then rested on the seventh day. And that's an important part of God's work as well. It was His rest. But when He rested, if He would have rested on the third day, we wouldn't have seen what we wouldn't even be here. But there wouldn't be trees. There wouldn't be sun, moon, and stars if He had stopped on the second day. But God wasn't finished. There was chaos, and He had to work a little bit. He had to roll up His sleeves and work a little bit, and He had to put His hands into the dirt. But God wasn't finished, and He wasn't willing for the earth to stay in the chaotic situation that it was in. And He's not willing that your situation stay in the chaotic situation that it's in. He's going to work, and He's going to move, and He's going to work, and He's going to operate in your life, because He's not finished yet. If you stop on any other day, you don't see the finished product. Whew. If you stop on any other day, you don't see the finished product of God. You can illustrate this with every single story in Scripture, from David to Daniel to Paul to John. You could illustrate it with every single one of them. The Old Testament Joseph, if God stopped when Joseph was in the pit, Joseph never gets to the palace, he never goes to the prison, and he never goes to Potiphar's house. And the world dies of a famine. Because if you stop before God's finished, you won't get the finished product that he's trying to create. So my urging and my encouragement to you tonight is, don't stop your faith prematurely. Because no matter what the impossibility or the obstacle is in you or around you, his work will never stop prematurely. He has a future, he has a hope, he has an expected end for you, and God will not stop until he performs that work in you and in your situation. Don't stop on any other day than on the day of Jesus Christ, because that's when God stops. But we're not to that day yet, and so there's hope in your life today. If you're here and you're in need of salvation, and you say, well, I'm a sinner and I'm far from Jesus. I don't even know what the preacher's talking about. I don't even know what the choir's saying about. I have no background. Or maybe you do have a little bit of background, but you still feel lost and you feel confused. Hey, here, I'm telling you, God's not finished with you yet. There may be sin and there may be disease and sickness in your life, but God's not finished with you yet. God can do a work in your life. God can restore you. God can heal you. He can set you on a path of restoration and salvation, because he's not finished yet. His work will not stop prematurely. And so our faith must not stop prematurely either. Our faith in God and in his work. I wonder if there's anybody in the room that agrees with me that God's not finished in this world. He hasn't saved his last soul yet. God's not finished in this world. He's not saved. He's not answered his last prayer yet. He's not performed his last miracle yet. And APC, I just encourage us and remind us, God's not finished with APC yet. We've been here for a long time, since 1935. And we're thankful for the blessing and the touch of the Lord that's been with us over these 80 some odd years. But God's not finished with us yet. He has placed us in this location for a very specific reason. He's placed us within the time frame that we are in for a reason. God is not finished with APC yet. We've had some blessed days, but I don't believe there our best days are behind us. I believe our best days are yet in front of us. And so I proclaim and I declare that our best days are in front of us, that God's not finished with APC, that there's still souls to be saved, that there are still people to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's still people to have their sins washed away in baptism. I believe God's not finished with APC just yet. He will perform his work. He will perform his word until the day of Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 14 is right in the middle of the Exodus account. It's right in the middle of Israel being saved from Egypt. And I told you, you could really illustrate this sermon with just about any story in Scripture. We'll go to the Exodus for a second. They were, people of Israel were captive in the land of Israel. They were slaves in the land of Israel. But that wasn't God's finished product for them. That wasn't God's will, if you would say it that way, for them. That they would stay there and that they would die there. So God wasn't finished with them yet. They were in captivity and they were slaves and they were having to make bricks and they were having to do all of these things. But God wasn't finished with them yet. It looked hopeless. It looked like they were going to be there forever because they had already been there forever. But God wasn't finished with them yet. He still had a work that he was going to do in them. And at the beginning of the Exodus, it's actually in chapter 13, verse 17, it said, it came to pass that when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was the closest route, the Bible says. For God said, lest peradventure the people would repent, or they would go back when they see war, and they would return to Egypt. God led them not through the closest route. He led them kind of on a detour. He led them maybe through a more difficult passage because he was preserving them. He knew that if they went through war too soon, they would long to go back to Egypt. And so verse 18 of chapter 13 says, "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness." God led the people about through the way of the wilderness. God led them through the wilderness on purpose. God put them in the wilderness in a bleak situation, in a hard situation. God led them there. But that's the hope. God led them. And when we're following him, as our theme is talking about this year, follow. When we follow him and we're doing everything we know to do that's right, and we're following the Spirit, we're following the Word and the spiritual authority of our life, and we are following and we're being led, and we end up in a wilderness or we end up in a storm, if we'll just continue to follow, the God that led us in will also lead us out. Because God's not finished yet. We may get into the situation. We may get into the wilderness or into the storm and think everything's falling apart. And maybe there's some despair that begins to rise in our hearts. And maybe a little bit of anxiety begins to rise in our hearts. And we think, oh no, this is it. I'm done. I'm finished. But the God that led us in will also lead us out if we'll just keep following him. If we'll just keep feeling after him and taking the steps that he wants us to take. And so God led them, it says. And then in chapter 14, verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." They had gotten to a point in their journey where something was in front of them, and here come the Egyptians behind them. God's sense of humor is, well, kind of sick sometimes, but in this passage in particular, the Lord said, "I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. So Moses, tell them to go over here so they don't have any other options." And it looks like they're going to be caught there. It looks like there's going to be no hope there, because then I'm going to send Pharaoh in and he's going to think, aha, I've got him. I'm going to finish him. But we know, of course, that God then parted the Red Sea. They went across on dry ground. But before that happened, see, we have the advantage of hindsight for the people of Israel for every story in Scripture. And so we're like, oh, yeah, don't worry, Paul. Just keep going a couple of verses. You're going to make it through that storm. You know, we have the advantage of being able to have faith. We don't really have faith for them. We just know how the story ends. But when it's us, we don't know how the story ends for us. We're just walking day by day. We're just doing all we can to put one foot in front of the other. But all the while, we can have faith. God's not finished with me yet. God's not finished in this situation. I know he's made a promise to me, or he's given a promise in his word, and he's going to come through. He's going to bring it to pass. And so here they are. Moses, they're beginning to fret a little bit. And Moses says, "Don't fear. Just stand still." Sometimes that's the hard part, is to just not do anything when we want to just fix it, when we want to do what we want to do. But he said, "Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today." And here's the greatest part. "For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." God wasn't finished with Israel. God had a plan in mind for them. He had a plan to deliver them. And they were standing, the Red Sea in front of them, and the army of Egypt behind them. But here's Moses telling them, God's not finished with you just yet, but the Egyptians, God's about to finish them. God's about to make it to where you don't have to see them again anymore. That force that's been coming against you is not going to bother you anymore. I'm speaking in the Holy Ghost right now that what has been coming against you isn't going to bother you anymore. What has been depressing you and oppressing you is not going to bother you anymore, because God's going to finish it, and he can finish it tonight. Because God's not finished with you yet. And God is not finished in any of our situations. I think I go to Lazarus in John chapter 11. And I'm almost done. John chapter 11. That looked like a pretty final situation, right? I mean, Lazarus is dead. That's pretty final for those of us here on earth. I went to look up this story today in John chapter 11. In verse 4, the words of Jesus said, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. This sickness is not final. It's not what's going to finish Lazarus, because I've got a work that I'm going to do in his life, Jesus said. Off to the side of this passage, I've got 11:4 underlined, and it just so happened that it was November 4th of 2004. I looked it up before service. That was a Thursday. I was still living with my parents at home, and I was in a time of prayer in our den, and I was pacing back and forth in the den, and I could take you to the exact spot in the den, right in front of the computer desk. And I was praying for Sister Delinda Crum. She was sick with cancer. And I'm not sure where in the story 11-4-2004 falls. I'm not sure if it was at the beginning or in the I'm not sure exactly where it was. I know it wasn't the end, because she lived on until March of 2006. But when I read that scripture, when I was praying for her, the Lord spoke into my spirit, this sickness is not unto death. Now, we do know the end of the story. Of course, Sister Delinda did pass. But death didn't get the victory in her situation, because God wasn't finished in her situation. I asked Brother Crum if I could tell this story, and what he told me was so much better. He said, I'm so glad that God allowed me to bring Sister Delinda to church. He said, I was just a backslider. And God allowed me to, you know what? God wasn't finished with Brother Jim Crum. He was a bachelor. He was in a messed up state. He was in a chaotic state spiritually. But God wasn't finished in his situation. And so he allowed him to bring her. And she was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And on and on and on. She was my Sunday school teacher. And so as I prayed, he said, this sickness is not unto death. And that stirred in my spirit that death is not final. Death does not have the final say, because we know in this scripture, we know in this story that Jesus says in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. I can bring what is dead back to life. So if there's a dead situation in your life, if there's something that looks hopeless and you may feel in despair about, I'm here preaching, God's not finished with you yet. God's not finished in that situation just yet. You can have hope and you can have confidence in the God who's not finished just yet. Would you stand with me, please? No matter the impossibility, the obstacle in me or the obstacle around me, his work will not stop prematurely. What he's doing in your family, and yes, he is working in your family. And what he's doing in your family, he will continue to work. I had a unique experience today. I was walking outside in my backyard, and I had come across the scripture in Genesis chapter 8. Verse 22, it says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. I'd read that and I tried to begin to memorize it. So as I was just out in my backyard, just walking around, looking crazy probably to the neighbors, I began to weep over that scripture. Now, if there's a scripture in the Bible that causes you to weep, this one probably has never done it before. It had never done it before for me. But knowing what I was going to preach tonight, as I just kept going over that verse, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. What God started in creation is still going on today, because He's a faithful God. He started seasons, and He started days and nights, and He started cold and heat, all in the first chapter of Scripture. And seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. It's not finished until God says that it's finished. In Romans chapter 1 verse 20, He says, but the invisible things of God are made manifest through His creation. From the creation of the world, they're clearly seeing these invisible things of God. What I'm telling you tonight is the invisible work that God is doing in your life and in your family and here in the city of St. Louis is just as regulated, and it's just as faithful, and it's just as constant as the days and the nights and the hot and the cold and the summer and the winter. They shall not cease. God's work in your situation, in your family, in this city, shall not cease. It's not finished until He says it's finished. It's not over until He says it's over. I'm going to open this altar for us tonight. And if you want God to begin a work in your life, I invite you and take those steps of belief and repentance and even baptism and be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is all for you tonight. God will begin a work, and then He will continue that work. If God has already begun that work and you know He's begun a work in your situation, the appeal tonight is to just come and renew our faith and to reaffirm our faith that, you know what, God is not finished. He is faithful as the days and as the seasons go on, as summer comes and as winter will come again. He is faithful, and He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. You can have confidence in the God tonight who is not finished in your situation. Would you come, and would you come to maybe become confident, or maybe renew that confidence tonight? God, You are working. You are moving. You are going to do a work, and You are going to finish Your work. We will see the completion of Your work. You are not done just yet. You are not done in my family. You have not saved the last individual that You want to save. You have not healed the last body that You want to heal. You have not performed the last miracle that You will perform. You have not answered the last prayer that You will answer. And so I will pray again. I will believe again. I will put faith and my confidence in You, because You are not finished just yet. You are not finished. You'll never stop working. You'll never stop working in my life. You will complete the work in my life. May not be able to see it just yet, but hold on. He will perform that which concerns you. He will perfect that which concerns you. He will finish it. He will perform the work.